Welcome to another episode of The Silly with the Wiggins. It's Mitch, Brad.
Hello.
Bird.
Hi.
So, no guest today.
No guest.
And there's probably a good reason that we're not, because the team's kind of Jekyll and Hyde on us. And
they're very hot and cold, aren't they?
Yeah, and I don't want to make fun of them while they're sitting on the couch.
No, it's strange. We had a game where we scored 7 goals, and then we go into another ultimately winnable game in Arizona. A game you have to win, I think, where they are in the table. We're trying to collect points, and we just laid an egg. I mean,
very sloppy. It was very sloppy. I mean, I thought we played very well the first half. Seth gave the ball away, and they capitalized. But it was all us. I thought we dominated the game in the first half. You know, Chad hits the bar. We've got to stop hitting the bar for a start. But the second half was flat. It was absolutely flat. We didn't seem to offer anything going forward.
And I feel like this is a repeat of Colorado. We come out in a game that we want to compete in. A terrible mistake puts us behind the 8 ball.
And then it's flat. The difference is Colorado's a good team.
Yeah. Oh, no, Colorado's
top of the league. Yeah. Arizona's the bottom of the league.
I agree. But just from a perspective, you come out and then you're behind the 8 ball.
So, I mean, we mentioned after that Colorado game, I didn't feel all that upset about dropping points in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
This one hurts. This one, if you're going to be a playoff team, you have to beat Arizona
Let's be honest. They're a worse team than us.
Right.
Player for player, that I think they're a worse team than us. That the facilities are worse than us. That the conditions are worse than us.
It was 100 degrees. We'll throw that
out
there.
You know, it's not a
but it was 100 degrees here.
Yeah.
And it was, it was 100 degrees for them, too.
Yeah. And I get that they play there, you know, again, using the Colorado comparison. They play there and they're used to it. But guess what? We play in St. Louis where it was 100 degrees last week with 103 heat index. It's not that – I mean, okay, yes, 109 is – there is a big difference.
Right.
When you get over 100, every increment matters.
But we're talking about games that, you know, we want to be a playoff team. We want to be
– San Antonio will go to Arizona and beat them.
Right.
RGV will go to they'll go to Arizona and beat them.
Yeah.
You know, Swope will go there and beat them.
Yeah.
Arizona are third from bottom for a reason.
Yeah. And we joke about it. I mean, it's become, you know, almost cliche – when the USL power rankings come out every week, we're on it 1 week, we're back off it the next week. We'll beat somebody and we'll go back on it. But we've got to keep winning just to stay in that playoff picture and be a team that, you know, right now we're a team that people are afraid to play because they don't know which team is going to show up.
Yeah.
We need to be a team that they're afraid to play just because we're always good.
We know we can play against these teams. We know we can. We did it against Vancouver. We did it for the last 20 minutes against RGV. Hell for knows we've done it against Tulsa. But I don't understand why this happens. I mean, it seemed to me...
They should come out of the locker room with a lot more confidence than they do.
It seemed to me we went out there as if we were playing Sacramento.
Yeah.
You know, as if we were trying to hold the fort down for a bit. And I don't think that's what it was, but that's just what it seems to me.
Sometimes you have to play a cagey game, especially on the road, but this isn't one of those games.
You know, Arizona did have those 3 big lumps up front, but still, I think we're a good team, and there's no reason, you know, not to go toe-to-toe with them. And granted, we nearly played crap and won. I mean, Chad hit the bar. Jameel Hardware hit the bar.
I thought Chad's was in. You know, he struck it so well.
He said he was wheeling away celebrating.
That's when you know you hit it well.
But talking to him today, I think he knows he wants those points back. I think they know they laid an egg.
Well, and I mean, to the point, sometimes you do have a bad game, but you still have to find a way to win. You know, we can't afford to, oh, this wasn't our night, hopefully next night. We need to figure out a way to grind out. You know, grind a goal in. If it's not going in, if we're hitting the bar, you still have to find a way to make that goal go in. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to say about it. But,
you know, we used that excuse with the whole altitude thing with Colorado. The heat wasn't an issue for just one team.
Right.
You know, and what if we give them a pass on the heat, then, you know, next week when we
go to
Swope, you know, what's the excuse then? They got changed in tents, you know, and go on, so on and so forth. So it was a winnable game, and they just laid a goose egg.
And they, as you said earlier, they were flat. I mean, the entire game, there you'd see a few moments where they'd tag something together, there'd be a good run, there'd be a good set of passes, and then that was it. And it just seemed to be they were like almost like they were walking through it. Like there just wasn't that drive, that desire, that push to the next level.
I expected more of the second half, and I was very surprised to see the same team come out. I was expecting fresh legs again, ready to go in the second half from the off. I fully expected to see Ambo, Drew Connor, come on for Tacker and Seth. Right at halftime, I couldn't believe it when I didn't see it. But
Seth did not have a good game. Seth had
a few of them didn't.
Probably one of the worst games he's had since coming here. His giveaway at the beginning was you just can't have that at this level. And you know, Sam made one in Colorado. It's going to happen from time to time. They're going to capitalize on it if you make that bad a mistake.
Well, and that's, I mean,
but the thing is with Seth, right? Seth gave the ball away in midfield. They've still got their entire defense to get through.
Sure.
You know, I mean, Sam's mistake in Colorado was right there in front of the goalkeeper and left Mark hanging. So,
but you have to have enough quality that you can afford to make a mistake and give up a goal and still be in the game.
And we have the talent.
The second half. Half there was nothing on. I mean, when Jordan got his goal, I mean, the game was over.
Yeah, but even at halftime, I thought we're playing well. We're only a goal behind. We've won a lot of points from coming from behind.
Right.
So I wasn't concerned. But then, you know, the first 10 minutes, they just couldn't get any flow, and they scored the second. And
I mean, you mentioned it, and we've talked about it in several games. We don't labor on it whenever we win because everything's hunky-dory. But Dale's substituting, that is a question for me. Whether it's, you know, sometimes I'm confused why he's making a certain sub, or more often than not, why he doesn't sub earlier. You know, like you said, you expected a few more fresh legs at the half. You know, I expect sometimes when we're behind, make an offensive sub and he'll make a defensive sub. I don't know. I'm not one to second guess the coach like I know any better, but his subs, he leaves them too late sometimes, and he makes some head scratchers for me.
It's very hard for a guy to come in with 10 minutes to go and make an impact.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Give him 25 minutes. Give him half an hour.
Well, the first 5 minutes is him just getting his legs into the game.
Uh-huh.
You know.
But this team, we seem to play great against other great teams. Like, we'll go up to their level. Go toe-to-toe with, you know, like we did against Vancouver. I mean, the second half against Vancouver was the best football we've played. But then against Arizona and the first game against Tulsa, we'll play down to their level. And I think we did it, you know, this weekend. We played down to their level. So
I don't know. We got to get it sorted out. If we do want to be a playoff team,
because if we finish sixth and we make the playoffs, like we scrape into the playoffs, we finish fifth or sixth, we're going away for the first playoff game and we're going to struggle.
Yeah,
you know, I think, you know, finish first or second or even third or fourth, you want the home playoff game to give yourself a chance.
Get at least one home game to kind of be comfortable.
There's no reason why we can't finish fourth in this league.
Yeah,
there's no reason. I mean, I think the team that finishes fourth will have taken points from them this year.
Yeah.
So it's just one game, but it was one winnable game.
Well, I don't think it is just one game, because I think we're starting to see repeating circumstances in the losses, especially against teams where we're dropping points that we should at least get some sort of points on. Like the substitutions.
Do you think they have a good game? And granted, the Tulsa game was,
you have to take that one out.
Right.
It's a bell
but
curve.
Do you think it's in their head that, oh, we're this team, and then they're not ready for the counterpunch? Or
no, I don't think so. I wish it was,
because
that would at least be explainable.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's funny, because last year they were good on the road and bad at home.
Yeah.
And this year it seems to be the opposite, you know, where they're good at home and not so great on the road.
I don't think we're that bad at home.
Oh, we've had some, we'd have some fluky things at home too, though.
Sure, but
I just think it's literally a coin toss.
Yes.
Are we going to get the team that's going to be in control this whole game? Mm-hmm. And that doesn't necessarily mean win. It's like the Vancouver game. I was happy with that performance. Uh-huh. Or are we going to get a game where we're going to give up two goals early and mope for the rest of the game?
Yeah, you just don't know. But yeah. I mean,
it's very bipolar.
Yeah. The win at Sacramento, you know, has been as great as that was. You got to chalk that up as a bonus win that we didn't expect.
Well, and that's what I was talking about, a tough win. Things aren't necessarily going your way, but keep grinding and keep fighting it out and steal 3 points. Uh-huh.
Even if we were down, let's say we were down 2-0 in the first half against Arizona, and we came back and tied it. Yeah. I'm okay with that. I'm absolutely okay with that.
Yeah, a two-goal lead by Arizona is not insurmountable.
You know, and I think that's kind of the concern. You know, you come out into halftime, you're down a goal, you're in it, and you should be in it. And
especially the way they played. I mean, I thought they played real well the first. Not real well, but
well enough.
They
were flat, but they weren't bad.
Well, and it's not chances. Like you're down a goal to a team that you know is superior. You're down a goal to a team that you know you're better than, yes. or you should know you're better than. And I'm not saying that, you know, any team can have a great day and beat you, but they should have come out confident that they could make that goal up and win. Mm-hmm. And
I think part of it comes back.
Because they did in Tulsa. Right. We were 2-1 down in Tulsa.
Right. I mean, you know, back to your statement, and this is where I am growing concerned. This is where Dale, you know, Taka was gassed. And nothing against the guy. You start him in that first half. He runs his butt off, doesn't get a lot of touches, nothing happens. You bring in somebody else. You know, Rudolph was not having a good game. That was obvious. You bring in somebody else. As Matt said, to see that exact same lineup come out at halftime, my jaw was on the ground. Because
well, and sometimes coaches just, I mean, first of all, we're lucky in USL. We got 5 subs. So it's not like.
That's the next part.
But. Sometimes a coach needs to make a change just to shake things up and tell the team, I'm not happy with what's going on here. Mm-hmm. You go in there and you make a difference. If you bring the same team out, it's like, well, status quo, let's just keep going.
Well, sometimes I feel that Dale will have a game plan to bring these guys on at certain minutes, and that game plan is irrelevant to whether we're winning or losing or 1-up, 2-up, 3-down. You know, Drew Connor was coming on in the 80th minute.
Right.
That was set in stone. You know, Taka was coming off after 60 minutes. Whether Taka was having the game of his life or was stinging up the joint, Taka was coming off after an hour. That was the game plan. And I'd like to see a little bit more leeway, a little flexibility. Go, you know what, this ain't working. Let's bring Ambo on for you know, the full second half, you know.
I understand Ambo's coming off the injury. Maybe he's not. You know, mm-hmm. maybe your plan is to bring him in late to get his legs in, but okay, so
but
you make
said,
another change.
Yeah, with the 5 subs, you've got room to work.
Yeah, I mean, you can bring him, you can put in somebody for the first 30 minutes and bring somebody in for...
Go 4-4-2.
Boo, you're cut off.
No, but there are options out there, and you know, and bringing Bushu on for Dixon, to me, it's like, why are you throwing another defender on at this point? We're chasing the game. We got to get a goal. I mean, now that's not to say there wasn't a strategy behind it. Maybe I just don't know what it is, but mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, you know, where's Vince and where's Roberts earlier?
Yeah. So. Absolutely. I mean, Roberts has been coming on in the second half and terrifying defenses.
Well, and at that point, you're down 2-0. It doesn't hurt to lose 3-0 any more than it hurts to lose 2-0. So
pretty much,
throw somebody on there to try to get a goal back.
And it was a hard night for Herrera. He just wasn't getting touches again. And, you know, and then I don't know if that was a lack of service, if things weren't just clicking. Another couple offsides again, which I'm pretty certain one of them.
One of
them
definitely wasn't offside.
Yeah, no. I mean, he timed his run well.
But that's his game. I mean,
yeah.
It doesn't bother me to see Herrera getting called for offsides. If he's pushing that envelope mm-hmm. and yeah, pushing that
absolutely.
Line, that's what it is. I mean, I know people will get upset about telling him to learn how to not get offsides, but that's his game.
Yeah.
He should always be on the verge of getting called
he's
offsides.
He's on that last defender's
right.
shoulder all the game.
You know, again, they did more of the long ball this game instead of the playing it in.
Especially in the second half, I felt.
And that to me just reeks of desperation.
And it's hard to chase after a ball when it's 107 degrees. Yeah. You know, so, especially Jameel and Roberts and they were just running all night, really, yeah, after those balls being pumped up. I mean, we should have really lost 2-0 because the Roberts goal.
Oh yeah,
it's a nothing goal.
No, I think we were in extra time, and I think they had fully switched off, knowing they'd won the game. I mean, it was nice to get. I mean, don't get me wrong, but
it was
to me that doesn't make any big difference at the end of the night.
No, and 2-0, 2-1. It's still a loss.
We had chances. Seth missed a great chance in the first half. Chad hit the bar. Jameel hit the bar. You know, they had a couple of chances. They missed two. You know, So quid pro quo. That said, we are making chances. You know.
Again, it's good to be able to bitch about this. Unlike last year, you know, last year it would have been, oh well, we lost another game.
Yeah.
You know, this team has the talent. That's why it's upsetting.
That said, Arizona are pants. And we should have beat them. And
yeah, they're pants that beat us.
And,
so,
you know, this was as bad as theoretically as losing away at Montreal last year. You know, It's a team we should have handily dealt with, I thought. I mean, I was as confident Saturday night about going into a game as I have been in a long, long time.
Yeah.
And again, Mark Pace had a great game.
He just looks mentally shattered.
He needs a day off.
Yeah, you can totally. I am so glad. Sorry, Ryan, that Jamaica is out of the Copa America, so he can be back and ready to go. Because Mark needs a break terribly.
Just, you know, he's
Had a lot of Wednesday, Saturday.
You know, altitude, sea level, 150 degrees. You know, it's.
He's taken a beating. I mean, he really has.
I think you just give him one day off from the game, and he'll be fine. But, yeah, it's starting to wear on him, I think.
And it's just a mental thing, I think, with him. That. You know.
Although, the Tulsa game was as close to a night off as you're going to get.
he was still living that they let that.
Yeah, I did see him leaning against the goalpost at one point, taking a drink of water while the play was at the other end.
Yeah, and he acknowledged the corner a couple times, which he said himself. He's always got us tuned out, you know, because he's in the game. So he was that free of duties that he was able to look over to the corner a couple times. But it will be good to have Ryan back just to get him a break. Yeah.
And I think it'll also be good for the team. Okay, you know, it's time. Let's make a change here. Let's get a different attack plan, I hope.
Yeah. Well, and Ryan, you know, just in the short time that he has been with the club this year between international call-ups, I mean, he's one of those leaders in the locker room. He could be a guy that kind of shakes them up, you know, at halftime if you need it, you know, kind of say, hey, boys, buckle down. We can do this.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I do think we miss Schumer, too.
Definitely. He was a big presence in the lineup.
But I think I also really, really like Drew Connor, and he's not been getting the minutes, and I'm not sure why.
And speaking of, Drew Connor was just called up to Chicago, so we won't have him this weekend.
Well, I saw he was in Chicago last week, and I thought it was because of the Open Cup game.
Yeah.
But Chicago need all the warm bodies they can get right now. I mean, they're desperate.
Jeremy told us today that he got called back to Chicago. Which, so
congrats to him.
Well, at least we know he's got a place to live.
Yeah, Duty's still rehabbing in Chicago. Kind of thought he'd be back by now, but maybe another week or two.
He's going to struggle for his place at left back, though. I think Parker has been phenomenal.
Quietly, one of the best players on the team, consistent.
Yeah.
I have no qualms about Parker just keeping that spot.
But even so, you got Mitch Lurie, who's come in for Parker, and Parker's needed a break.
And been fantastic.
Yeah, so, I mean...
And again, much like last
year. No, Duty's great, but yeah, Parker, I'm not missing Patrick right now.
But the thing is, I would rather play our own guys if they're up to the task than develop the Chicago guys. I mean, I'd rather play our players.
Definitely.
And so, Patrick, we all like Patrick, but I don't think we're missing him.
But but if he comes back and him and Parker start pushing each other, that's better for everybody. So.
Absolutely. And you know,
and Mitch, too.
And Duty can put in a cross.
Well, yeah, and
you
hey.
Know, and you soon forgive all ills when, you know,
and maybe Duty can, you know, come in and play a little midfield for us if we need some crosses.
Well, Parker can play midfield. He played left mid all season last year. It was great. So really happy with Parker, the way he's playing. He's, as you say, quietly one of the most consistent players on the team.
Doesn't show up on the stat sheet, but those of us watching from the corner appreciate Parker.
Yeah, it is the little things too with Parker's game that, you know, the common camera doesn't catch.
Yeah,
silently one of the strongest guys in the back line with putting a body on people.
Yeah,
you're not getting around him easy. He's
and if he does make a mistake, he doesn't hang his head.
He doubles back.
Yeah, he wants to make up for that mistake. So yeah,
he's really our kind of guy.
Yes, he is. A lot like Sam Fink was last year. Sam Fink still is.
Yeah.
But lunch pail guy, you know, he's not going to get a lot of credit, but he turns in a great shift every time he's out there.
And AJ as well.
You know, yeah.
AJ's not missed a minute this season.
No.
He has not missed the US. He's not missed a minute.
We do need to get AJ on.
Maybe next week.
It'd be nice if we could get AJ and Sam on the central pairing and talk to those guys.
We should do that next week. Let's make it happen.
I'll do what I can.
You will make it happen.
All right.
Maybe we should do next week on the road.
That could be fun.
Especially since...
your house is going to be
torn apart.
Torn art.
Yeah, we'll do next week on the road.
All right, we'll figure that out. That puts Arizona to bed.
Thank God.
the last of the 9:30.
Yes, that's the other great.
Yeah, that was a late one.
I mean, I was just sat around waiting all day for the game. Waiting all day. I was like, I watched Louisville and I watched Colorado Springs and then I watched us, you know.
Well, my wife and I went out to dinner and got back around 9:30 or so, 10. And she's like, oh, you know, you want to watch a movie or something or you just want to go to bed? I'm like, the game's just getting ready to start. So I was like, she thought I was just being, you know, romantic, taking her out to dinner, but... I was like, oh, yeah, we can go out to an early dinner. That'd be great.
4 o'clock dinner?
Fancy a long weekend away in the mountains.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, then the worst problem is about those 9:30 games, especially after a loss, is that then you're angry and can't go to sleep.
Yeah.
So that's another hour tacked on after the game every time. I just sat there.
It's the last 9:30 game until the playoffs.
That's right.
Fair enough. That's true.
So this coming weekend, we have Portland Timbers 2.
Cannot wait. I miss home games. This week off thing, I missed it.
We get a little spoiled.
Another very attainable 3 points to be had.
They're not doing well in the table this year.
They're not bad. I mean, I've watched...
No, they're
not
a bad team.
I've watched a couple of their games. They're not...
They're below us in the table,
They're not Tulsa.
No.
They're not...
So, but we do have to win this one.
Yeah,
especially at home.
It's a very attainable 3 points.
Talked to the sales office this morning. It's trending well, so we could hit that sellout mark.
We need to hit that sellout mark.
I'd like to think that's because of my article.
I think so, too. We'll get to that in just a minute. But please bring a friend. This week's tailgate, the tailgate posse is doing burgers and hot dogs and all the fixings, so it's an American-themed tailgate party. So
if I see a single Portland Timbers shirt, I will burn it.
There are going to be a few Portland Timbers fans there, but they're from Portland.
They best be from Portland.
They're traveling, yeah. Yes. I don't want to see any St. Louis MLS fanboys.
I will burn it. if you're coming from Valley Park to support Portland Timbers, I will burn it.
I have several aim in flames. I'll make sure you're armed with.
That's right. But very attainable 3 points. Let's go do it.
Should be fun. Let's pack the park. Let's make a lot of noise. Couple of things we're doing. We have new buttons, new scarf buttons. I don't know. We need a phrase that pays. What should they say at the tailgate table to get one of the new buttons?
You know what? You know what's a great phrase?
What?
What's going to be our little signage?
Oh, okay. Let's do, how about you say, please, please win, meow, 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 and you get a new scarf button. This is a brand new one. We have 100 of them. So the first 100 people to come up to me at the tailgate merchandise table and say, please, please win, meow, 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 you get a scarf button. And if you don't know what that's from Portlandia. Great show. Making fun of all things Portland.
It's worth watching that episode before.
Yeah, maybe we'll post a link to it this week. But yeah, some some hipsters are going to a Portland Timbers game and they want to make the perfect sign, and they end up with the kitty and a ball, and they chant, "Please, please win, meow, meow, meow," and get the entire Timbers army to join along.
You're looking at me like I know. I've never watched an episode of that in my life.
I've only watched that episode.
Well, it's a funny show. I enjoy Portlandia. So, yeah, that'll get you a free scarf button at the tailgate table. Something else we want to talk about. Oh, the 3v3, the Junior Luligans. You guys know they went down to Disney World last summer on a tournament. The St. Louis St. Louis FC 3v3 tournament was this weekend. They competed in both the U12 and the U13. They played up a year. They won the U12 division in their 3v3. They wear the Luligan jerseys. I want to give a shout out to Hayden Barzoff, Wyatt Erber, Parker Scottsburg, Sebastian Green, Aiden Hesler, and Jay Atkinson. Actually played for the U13 team and not the U12 team, but those boys all represented the Luligans proudly, and they're going to come over and see us at the tailgate before the game. We'll have a little something for them.
I love in their victory picture that they're holding up the scarf.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing it right.
They're quite the brand ambassadors.
We can win on the road.
There we go. And those kids will also be a part of the, I believe, the pregame festivities. I think they're walking out with the team, maybe going in the locker room before the game, that kind of stuff. So,
well, we've learned when kids go into the locker room before the game,
good things happen. Yeah. So congrats, boys. Really proud of you guys for representing us so well, and keep it up.
To be fair, they're kind of better than us.
Oh, they're a lot better than us.
I mean, like, they're like successful, and right, we're kind of mediocre.
Right. We should, next time they do one of these youth tournaments where they wear our jerseys, we should send a contingent out there to whoop it up, get thrown out of soccer park for,
wouldn't be the first time we've been thrown out of
for
soccer
being
park
rowdy being at rowdy. A kid's game. Yeah. But good job, boys. Thanks a lot. Something else to talk about, USA, Copa America. We're doing well.
Doing fantastic. I was talking to Mitch before we went on air here, and I said, look, I would love England to be in the semifinals of the Euros. You know, USA are in the semifinals, arguably the second best team, the competition behind the World Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where they're at. And you know what? I thought they'd get beat by Paraguay. I thought they'd get beat by Ecuador, and they haven't. And here they are, and they deserve to be here. This is the semifinals, and we all know that they've got to play Argentina and Messi and Mascherano and Aguero and all that, and chances are slim, but you've got to play it.
Yep.
They're in it to win it, and you know, who knows? Who knows? Yeah. Messi could be sent off in the first minute. You've got to play the game.
Well, and I mean, yeah, you got to play the game. You never know. Anything can happen, and I like our chances. I mean, really, we're playing with house money at this point.
Absolutely.
If Argentina lose, it's a huge upset. Mm-hmm. If we win or if we lose, nobody's going to look at us any different. So
they've still got to the semifinal of a major competition, and you know, England made the semifinals of the World Cup in 1990, and that's all people remember. We got to the semifinal. Yeah. They don't remember we played Cameroon in the quarterfinals.
Right, right.
You know, we got kind of lucky the fact that Cameroon went through. And it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that they played Paraguay and Ecuador. They're here and they deserve to be here. And who knows? Who knows? Tomorrow I play the game and we'll all be sat watching with vested interest. And
if you have
because
a chance,
you don't know, they might not be in the tournament again for another 20 years.
Yeah. If you have a chance, head out to Amsterdam Tavern, American Outlaws St. Louis, as always. Have a big party. Get there early would be my advice, because everybody who's ever watched a United States soccer game is going to be there pretending they've been the biggest fans in the world. So
the Colombia game, they were saying there were 750 people.
Colombia, yeah, there's a lot of Colombians in St. Louis. Our friend Carlos brought a huge group, and that's a team that's got a chance too. They're
I don't know. Did you see Chile the other night?
Oof. Oh, they were dominant. That's true. That's true. A lot of good teams left, and us. I'm just teasing.
But it is. It's a great tournament. It really is.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, I think it's been more entertaining than the Euros
so far. I mean, it's the knockout round.
Well, sure, right.
The We'll not talk about the Euros today.
No, but that's also going on. So a lot of great soccer to watch on television.
But you talk about Saturday being a 9:30 kickoff. I mean, you had the Euros, then the Copa, then Louisville v. Rochester and Colorado v. San Antonio. And by 9:30 comes around, you're like, it's our game. And Ewan's like, Dad, can I watch something on the TV?
Might be time to buy Ewan his own TV.
Can I watch Paw Patrol? I'm like, no.
Here's the iPad. Watch it on there.
Here's the iPad.
All right. So Tuesday, if you can, join American Outlaws at Amsterdam Tavern. There are also other watch parties around the metro area. But we're going to give our friends AO a shout out and encourage you to go there. What else we have? July 6th is the next home game after Portland. There's a Swope Park trip in the middle of that. But July 6th is against Sounders 2, and that is going to be the ESPN3 game. So,
Wednesday night. It's
a Wednesday night. Wednesday nights are always tough, so please make a commitment to be there and make a commitment to bring a friend or two.
And wear your blue Luligan shirt.
Let's make it blue and let's make it loud.
And again, it's on TV. We want to look good. We want to look like we belong, you know, at the top of the table, on and off the field. And if the corner is empty, if our side is empty, that's the side that the camera faces, it's going to look like shit for us. Yeah. So bring people. This is the time where you say, hey.
If you've never been, tell them if you've never been to a game, this is the one we need you to come to.
Yeah.
It's a winnable game again. You know, Seattle Sounders 2, they haven't even earned their crest yet. So
they scored the other night. They scored a goal, and the guy kissed the badge. And I'm like, you're not kissing anything.
He kissed the non-badge. Yeah. That is funny. That is funny. I'm sure he didn't get the irony of it, but I do. I love that.
Maybe he did.
Maybe he is really cool.
Showing
yeah.
the, you know.
They should do like, you know, Ohio State, where you get like the Buckeyes when you make a play.
Yeah.
Maybe they could get a part of their badge if they have a good play. And if by the end of the year you've filled it out, you get to go up to the first team. But no, please come out this weekend and come out July 6th. And if you come out to those two games, I know you're just going to come out to all the rest of them because you're going to have so much fun.
That's right. There's also a big Swope Park game in the middle of that lot. And there's a fair bunch going to
Kansas City. We've got a good group going. It's July 4th weekend, but some people are taking the whole weekend and doing the Sporting Kansas City game and the Swope Park game.
I'll say it here. I've said it on Facebook. Ticketmaster.com for your Swope Park tickets. West general admission. I think they're $15 a ticket. That's where we're gonna be. West general admission.
Yep. And if you're wanting to hitch up a ride, put something on Facebook and see if anybody else is going. So maybe you can get a couple people to go.
There's a dog park there, an off-leash area. You know,
there you go. Bring your dog.
Bring your lab. I mean,
maybe I should go. Maybe I should take Pixie
and leave her there.
The first game, you know, we always joke about bringing Pixie to the.
I think they should call that new mascot off-leash area.
Oh my god,
furry mascots.
Have fun wearing that when it's 95, dude.
Furry mascot.
There is no cool suit on earth that's going to make that worth.
What I liked most about that was they posted it on their official team Facebook page. We had more likes on the Luligan Facebook page thanking St. Louis FC for not having a furry mascot than they had for their furry mascot. So.
I know it's Ding Ding's never been around when it's July.
Well, and Ding Ding's not official. He just showed up.
But he showed up in March.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Pandas aren't stupid.
Well, they are endangered.
Yes, well, they don't know how to have sex, but...
But they're sure as hell not come to a soccer game in July.
They won't be at a soccer game in July. Let's hit on something that happened this week. Our friend Matt Bird here wrote an article. I thought it was rather straightforward, to the point.
Fair.
It was fair. It's fact. It's a fact. The bleachers are empty, not just at St. Louis FC, but at the Ambush, at the Lions, at Fire and Ice.
Yeah.
You know, they're not packing the place out. I get that some people see it's minor league soccer. I get that. I get that some people think it's beneath them. But you also have no right to call yourself a soccer city when that's happening.
Well, and let's there was a new round of rumors that went out this week, which there are absolutely no truth to. There's Kroenke is
click
not
bait.
Kroenke is not building a stadium in Maryland Heights. We know this because A, the MLS doesn't want a stadium in Maryland Heights. They want a stadium
downtown. It's
going to
be downtown.
We know this because there is a potential ownership group that's
forming. Let's even back up before that. We know this because Don Garber stood at Busch Stadium and said, you need a downtown stadium.
Right.
We know this because Taylor Twellman at TED said, the league says, you need a downtown stadium.
We know this because that very development was in the works before the Rams even left, and it's for a retail slash residential whatever in Maryland Heights that Stan Kroenke wants huge tax benefits
that's
for.
That's how he's made his money.
Right.
He did it in Kirkwood. He's done it in Maryland Heights.
So just because a plot of land is big enough for an MLS stadium doesn't mean they're building an MLS stadium.
It's just a joke.
But it's clickbait, and the local sports writers and the local newspaper writers like to have something to talk about. But
they should know better. Yeah, if we know... Then they've got to know.
It's insulting and it's humiliating.
They want stuff to talk about. Because they want clicks on their website.
Because I go see my mother-in-law drop Ewan off, and she's like, hey, did you see they're building an MLS stadium in my... I'm like, no, they don't. But it's right here in the... Yeah. No, they didn't.
Well,
it says right here.
Yeah.
Channel 2 talked about it. It must be happening. But here's the thing. Matt wrote an article about that. Not in direct response to that, but... All these people that get excited and start talking about MLS and it's really going to happen. These are the people that we need coming out to Soccer Park. And I don't mean the people that will buy one ticket to an MLS team. I mean, yes, we need those kind of fans too. But the people in St. Louis who go to Amsterdam every weekend, or the people in St. Louis that, you know, profess their love for soccer, but
you see them at the store wearing a Bayern Munich jersey.
Right. Haven't tried St. Louis FC yet. That's the point. If you come and you don't like it, or you come and you say, I'll be there occasionally,
you know,
that's good.
Even if you say, I go watch the Ambush.
Right.
Yeah, I can. I don't like the Ambush, but I don't like Manchester City either.
Right.
You know, so I'd never.
But you're putting some of your dollars towards soccer in St. Louis.
Yeah, you're doing your bit.
And it's not, and no offense to the bar, the Amsterdam on a Saturday morning is not putting your money towards soccer in St. Louis. You're putting your money towards soccer in Europe.
You know, Boise, Idaho's got a soccer bar.
Yeah.
You know, Toledo, Ohio's got a soccer bar.
Well, and I mean, honestly, I want all those people that do show up at 6 a.m. to watch their European team and really go all out, come out and see what it's like. I mean, you and I have talked about it tons, Matt, that I love Arsenal. I love watching Arsenal games. When Arsenal wins, I'm a happy guy the rest of the day. But it's different with this team.
Yeah.
This is my team. And even though it's quote-unquote minor league soccer,
you can't sit next to Olivier Giroud. Like me and Mike McHugh just had a pint with Chad and John Roberts today.
So here's the thing that pisses
totally
me
different.
Off. Yes, it's technically minor league soccer. So's Newcastle next year.
No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
You'd never go up to someone who supports Sheffield United and say, you support minor league soccer.
Yeah.
No,
you'd never do that.
You're not
going
to say that to a Newcastle fan.
Or a Munich 1860 fan or you know...
Whoever.
You'd never go up to a Crewe Alexandra fan and go, wouldn't you rather support United in the Premier League? They'd be in the face. Yeah.
So,
you know, so I don't accept that here either.
Now, granted, we don't have promotion relegation, but you know what? Newcastle played like a minor league team last year. They don't deserve it.
But you see, and I made this point with Kyle Kepner this week because he was talking about, you know, some guys can't afford to go up. Well, I'll go back to Crewe Alexandra. In an open pyramid too, you find teams that find their place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're Crewe Alexandra, God bless them, they're a League One, League Two, occasionally champion. But that's where they're about.
Yeah.
You know, and St. Louis FC, this is where we're about. If we had promotion relegation, we'd be looking over our shoulder last year.
Yeah.
You know, we wouldn't
be up last year.
So, I mean, whether or not this promotion relegation, whether or not it's irrelevant, go support your team.
And just come out and try it. That's the crux of the argument, which people got into making excuses and took offense at your article because for whatever reason.
Because it cut to the bone. That's why they took offense.
But it really wasn't an offensive article. It was,
no,
you're a soccer fan in St. Louis. It's time to come out. Yeah. And instead of saying...
You're calling me a bad fan.
Instead of saying, you know what, you're right, maybe I should go check it out.
But there were, to be fair, though, there was a couple of guys that did that.
Yeah,
there,
no.
There were. And yeah. Credit to them. Yeah, and
they were like, you know what,
you're right. We make the joke about it that people say, I've been trying to get out to a game, and Brad's, well, what's stopping you?
Yeah.
You know,
if only there was 15 games a year and tickets weren't expensive.
And it's funny because we had a similar discussion last podcast.
Yeah.
The article came out. So if you're following along at home with us, mm-hmm. this is all a logical conversation. The problem is that the people aren't following along because they're not there.
Well, and I mean, again, Matt's article didn't say, and if you don't, you're an asshole. It just said, where are you?
No, I said, if I'm just saying you can't call yourself a soccer city. If all these teams that we've got are struggling for attendance.
Well, and it is in direct, you know, correlation to Cincinnati.
Yeah, absolutely.
That are selling 15,000 to 20,000 seats every game. I don't know what Louisville's attendance this year is, but last year they were selling 8,000 to 9,000 every game. You know, there are other teams who are in that same, let's say, on-deck circle as St. Louis.
The market viability circle,
wanting MLS. All fans can do to show they're ready is show up and support the mm-hmm. teams they have. So, again, come or don't come, but then we got the litany of excuses. It's not in the city. Okay. It's too hot. Okay.
Mm-hmm. If we get MLS, it's not going to cool down in the summer.
Right. I mean, there's always excuses. And I'm not saying you have to be a season ticket holder even, but come out, you know, say you go
I think people were upset because there's this myth, there's this aura, there's this mystique about St. Louis that we're a soccer city. And it took someone to kind of say, you know what, maybe we're not.
Yeah, you peeked behind the curtain and said,
yeah, and heaven forbid, you know, some of the powers right. that be that say, you know what, Bird's right.
Yeah.
We should be looking at Cincinnati. We should be looking at Sacramento.
And then other people took offense that, you know, we were saying we're the only true soccer fans. That's not true at all.
No, there's 2,000 that sit on the other side.
We are 500 in one corner. And we're averaging 3,000 to 4,000. So, you know.
It's just, we're what, 15%?
Yeah. The rest of the crowd, they're as important, if not more important than us, because they spend a lot of money on merchandise and everything, too. And they come to all the games. And there are diehard fans that don't want anything to do with our section. That's fine. They're being soccer fans. I would never say they're not doing it right. So,
well, because, you know, in 10 years when we're 50, we're going to be settled.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, the family that brings their kids.
Yeah,
the couple of old guys that were around, you know, mm-hmm. 20, 30 years ago and want to talk about the strategy or whatever. The guys on dates who just bring a girl, or the guys who are just sports fans and want to come to a game. I mean, all of those people are equally, great soccer fans. I want the ones that aren't coming.
I agree.
To come
I
out.
I agree. Because, and I...
And we know there's a ton of them.
I go back to when we went to Kansas City last year. Everyone was like, oh, the Lugans were great. There was a lot of St. Louis fans in that section as well.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't just us. We were all St. Louis fans.
Right.
You know, so, and you make a great point, because you saw in a lot of the articles last year, the RFT and whatnot, they kind of concentrated on the Lugans. And some people were kind of getting like, why are you just concentrating on them and not, you know, taking photographs of the rest of the crowd? And it's a fair point. They are doing just as much.
Oh yeah.
In showing up and buying shirts and beer and stuff as anyone.
I mean, we make it a little easier to talk about us because we're singing the songs and we're a united front, whereas there might be pockets of, you know,
yeah.
five people here or there. You can talk about 500 people in one go. But, you know, we talk about it. If we can sell 50,000 to Chelsea versus Manchester City, or 35,000 to the U.S. Women's National Team, or, you know, even 14,000 to the Bosnia game that was here, whatever those stats are, those are all potential people who could buy tickets to St. Louis FC. Season tickets, but just one ticket, two tickets.
And
where are those people?
And I get you know, for example, I have friends that went last year, had a great time. Their son, one son plays baseball, one son plays lacrosse. They're not making it to a lot of games just because they're going in multiple directions. I get that. I am not, we're not talking about them.
Right.
We're not talking about the people that have legitimate things, financial constraints. Don't get me wrong. This is still a bargain of a ticket. But, you know, there's things that happen. We understand life happens.
But you, all, no you, but you also know this guy sat at home in the city with MLS Live watching DC and Sporting KC on TV instead of coming out and watching
the local
team.
There's guys that go to Sporting Kansas City home games and they haven't come to St. Louis FC yet. It happens.
And it's absurd.
And there's people, like you said, that say, well, it's in Fenton. That's too far away.
Sporting KC Stadium is further away from downtown Kansas City than we are.
I pointed it out on the thread the other day, is that it takes 14 minutes to get from the Amsterdam to the Edward Jones Dome. It's 6 miles, but it takes 14 minutes.
Yeah.
It's 14 miles from Amsterdam to Soccer Park. It takes 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So your rate per travel, granted it's highway, but you're only put out 6 more minutes to go to the soccer game. So you're going to tell me you can't do that because it's not in the city limits? You can kiss my ass.
Well, and there's
Matt Brown trademark. It's 10 minutes in a car from downtown.
And there's also the fact that, you know, I'm not going to talk about where I live or where you live, Matt. We do live on the outskirts, so we drive farther than we would if we lived downtown.
Mm-hmm.
But if MLS came, let's say MLS was here today, and they did build the stadium in Collinsville, which is where they were going to build it when Cooper was involved. Okay, that's 15 minutes away from downtown, or 20 minutes, or whatever it is. So would you still say, well, it is MLS, it's top level, but I'm not driving? You know, there's always an excuse. Mm. But if you want to see the best level of professional soccer in our area, a 15-minute drive isn't asking too much.
They're a good team. Disregarding the fact that we just bitched about them for 20 minutes in Arizona, they are a good
team.
But
we have fun, and everybody has fun. Everybody that's come out to a game, I don't think I've met somebody yet. I'm sure there's somebody that said I hated it, but anybody that brings a friend.
There was about 20 Tulsa fans last week that hated
it. Yeah. Hell, those people drove 8 hours, and they enjoyed it. I mean, they didn't enjoy that particular game, but,
yeah.
I mean,
and again,
all we're saying is try it. If you don't like it,
I'm not looking for people to buy season tickets or to go on road trips or
commit
any of the
to
stuff
one or
do.
Two games a year.
Okay.
What happens? Here's the thing. What happens when we get MLS and the team ain't great and the novelty wears off
and the tickets are $30 a pop
and parking's 20 and it's 95 degrees and we're on ESPN like Sporting KC were yesterday? And there's only 7,000 there. Because that really does concern me that once the novelty wears off, and everyone will leave it for someone else to go fill the stadium.
Well, and see, that's the thing that kind of seems to be this underlying current through a lot of this stuff. It's that you go do it today, I'll do it when it's comfortable for me. But
in the meanwhile, I'll tell everyone how awesome you are.
Yes.
How awesome the fans are.
Yeah.
Because that's
you don't get to brag about St. Louis being a great soccer city if you're not participating.
You know, my father-in-law, and that's what it came down to with the Cardinals thing, was that he will sit there all day and tell you how great the Cardinals fans are, how great the organization are, how great the players are, how great it all is. He will sit there and tell you BFIB. He's all the BFIB, and he goes to one game a year.
Best fans in baseball.
He goes to one game.
Trying to figure out that is. Yeah.
One game.
And I'll be the first to say, after the 2014-2015 season, I hated the St. Louis Blues. I was so angry at them for being the same thing year in, year out. My abusive girlfriend, the whole nine yards. But guess what? I still went to a couple games last year. I still went because if I'm going to be a hockey fan, I need to go support
the team.
Yeah,
but you're not calling it Hockey Town.
No.
And having empty seats at the Joe Louis Arena either.
So, and this leads me to one of the things, and I'm actually, I was kind of disappointed in the timing of your article because I had been working on this one for a little bit, is that I think a big part of this, it's the generation, not ahead of us, but that older generation, the Bill McDermott generation, I'll refer to it as, that want to perpetuate that myth of us being a soccer town, but aren't doing what they need to do.
Yeah.
That, you know, and I'm not picking picking on Bill because he's famous. I'm just saying there's that group of Bill followers that go around and go to all the things he does, the lunch buffets and yeah. And wear the green jackets.
And the speech is always the same.
It's always the same
the
speech.
The Hill, 1950.
It's always the same talking points, but there's never anything about the growth and the promotion of what's going on today. The first words out of their mouths in every one of those conversations should be, this team out in Fenton is doing something special. You should be going out there to continue our fine tradition. And it's not said.
Well, and Taylor Twellman essentially said that at the TED Talk, you know.
Yeah.
We have to quit relying on that history. Mm-hmm. We have to create a new reputation.
And we're not. We're creating a reputation of people that sit at home, watch it on YouTube, and tell about how great. That was one of the things that really pissed me off.
Well, what Pat said about the YouTube viewership.
Yes. Yeah. Pat Kelly put something up on one of our conversations the other day about how we have a great YouTube viewership. One of the, like, third best in the league, I think it was. And I firmly believe 90% of that is people sitting at home.
Yeah. Because people from Vancouver ain't watching it.
No.
Because they got no fans.
No. No. And the game that I was the home opener, I was at a concert. Yeah. I'm watching it on YouTube. You're seeing the commenters. You know, there was one where a game where I was out of town for work. I'm watching the commenters. Hey, I'm in St. Louis. I love my team. Well, what the hell are you doing watching it on? And I understand if you're at work or, you know, you've got the kids. Everybody's got a one situation that happens. But when it's the same people over and over
again. Yeah, when you're a regular in the comments section for home games.
And you live in St. Louis.
You're part of the problem.
You are the problem. I'm not even saying part of. It's people like you that are exactly
That's worse than people who don't know about the team.
Yes, absolutely. Because
I get that the marketing department isn't well-financed. We don't.
Yeah, they can only budget so much.
And we always run into people on the Luligan page or on Twitter that are like, oh my God, I didn't know this existed. And that happens. And I believe that. But yeah, if you know enough to find the YouTube stream every week but haven't made it out to a game, that's shocking.
And I'm always amused at the excuse of, well, the local media needs to talk about it more. You really think that Jeremy and PK and those guys aren't trying to get...
Joe Lyons is there every game, yeah, writing for the Post-Dispatch.
But well, and if the games sell out... And
they're going to come out.
You know what I mean? Again, as big as we make it is as big as it will get.
We're not going to get the lisping toupee to come out and cover a game if it's not sold out.
Well, and Bird had an interaction, you know, with a guy on Twitter earlier this evening about he was asking Bernie, why don't you cover the team that's there? Bernie's talking about MLS because that's the big money. That's the whatever. Yeah.
That's the lunch buffet.
Yeah, Bernie could come out and cover every St. Louis FC game. He knows it exists, but he's not going to. So we do what we can. But if there's 10,000 people at our games, if they have to expand the seating because mm-hmm. there's so many fans, we'll force them to talk about
they
it.
They can't ignore us at that point.
That's what Sacramento did.
Yep.
That's what Indy did.
Yeah.
That's what Cincinnati's doing.
Right.
You know, it's also what Louisville did last year.
Cincinnati had a large budget to begin with, but when you draw that many people, the local media has to pay attention.
No choice.
So if we have every game's a sellout, and at the end of the year, Fred has to put in 2,000 more seats, and the news has to do a story about, wow, this is so big, they're expanding seating, and you know what I mean?
This is what's going to lead us to MLS. If MLS is your final goal, this is the way you have to do it. Garber has said it. All the media people have said it. You have to make STLFC big.
And if MLS isn't your final goal, we're having a hell of a good time right now.
I kind of don't want MLS anymore because I'm having so much fun.
I want more people to come out and have fun with us now.
I'll be the first to buy MLS season tickets.
Oh, yeah, of course.
We all will.
But... I really, all we can do is make sure that St. Louis does it right. And if
this organization is involved,
it will be done right. I'm okay with that.
And again,
and in the meantime, I'm having fun supporting this organization because they treat us right now.
But they treat everyone right.
I don't mean just us. St. Louis.
And that's even the thing. They're treating the city right.
Right.
I mean, you know,
they're doing the community service stuff. They're, you know, the players are there to sign autographs after every game, win or lose.
It's the amount of foolishness that comes out on the, and again, everybody. It's the internet. It's the internet. You know, it was funny.
And for every one person that takes offense and throws a hissy fit, there's 20 people that read that and say, oh, yeah, I should get out there and see a game.
You know, and the thing
But it seems to me that the lot of the people that were like, that he's got a point with the guys that go already. It was like, yeah, where the hell is everyone else?
Yeah, it was funny because if you looked at...
And it's not people that we know. It's people, other people in the stands, wherever they sit, they know
and they
follow our page not because they're Luligans, but because we have news about the team and whatever. But they're like, yeah, we're invested in this as fans.
Yeah, Brad and I, you know, being the admins of the Facebook page, can see who's liking the post in detail.
And I couldn't love an MLS team more than what we've got.
God, no.
I'm so emotionally invested in this that it's irrelevant to me.
Well, it's like you said earlier with Stockport County or whoever your team is, Crew Alexander, they're your team. If they go up,
they go up.
They go up. And if we get MLS and it's this organization, I'm already bought in.
Yeah.
You know.
But you know, you also know that there'll be 5,000 guys that have never been to a game before in their life saying, we were here from the beginning.
Yeah. And, oh, yeah.
No,
of course.
You were not.
Yeah.
But you know what? We had that a year ago.
That's true.
And back to what I was saying, you look at the likes, it's everybody that agree with our point are the people that are coming out. Mm-hmm. Even the people, okay, I don't recognize this person's name. And you do a little bit of Facebook stalking and they have a profile picture. It's on the other side of the stadium.
Yeah.
And they're liking it. And you know that they're the ones that are stuck in. They're getting involved. They're doing their part. If you're not liking it, if you don't have a problem, you know, I can't do anything for you at this point in time. And to argue with us about it, it's all guilty conscience.
Yeah. Hey, if you need to give me an excuse as to why you're not coming to games, okay. You can tell me. Mm-hmm. But I don't really care
when
either come to the games or don't.
When an article about don't give us excuses is met with a list of excuses. Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's what I told another guy. He was like, you know, he was offended and blah blah blah. It's like, look, the whole point of these kind of articles is to get attention, to get people to see them. And for nothing else, Matt, you hit a home run with that. You know, a lot of people saw that article and had their way in on it, positive or negative. But if they read that article, they know there's a team in Fenton, and they know there's fans. And
but you know what? There's also a team in Cottleville.
Exactly.
There's a fire and ice on Belleville. You know, there's the ambush. I don't care if you come watch my team.
Right.
Just go watch a team.
Right.
You know,
if you're in St. Charles and it literally is too far for you to drive to Fenton on a Saturday afternoon because you're doing stuff, pick up a Lions game or two.
You know,
if you're over on the east side, stop by Fire and Ice. You know, take the kids. I mean, there are a variety of different soccer experiences you can have in St. Louis. Find what's right for you. Yeah, I personally hate indoor soccer. I don't even think it's soccer. But a lot of people in St. Louis love indoor soccer. They have fond memories of the Steamers and the ambush of the past. Take the family and go to an ambush game. You can have a hell of a time out there. At least show the world you care about soccer. Yeah.
You know, it's like where I lived in England. You can either go watch Manchester United or you can go watch semi-pro. You know, you've got that plethora of choice. Do something.
Yeah.
You know, if
and it doesn't have, like I said, doesn't have to be season tickets. Make a commitment to go to one game a season. Maybe go to one indoor game and one outdoor game. Or maybe, you know,
spring and a fall.
Yeah, if your kid's on a team, organize a night out for the whole team. Mm-hmm. You know, get all the parents together and
call our man Darian Baez.
Yeah, get a group by.
But when you see the comment, well, wake me up when MLS is here. That's exactly who I'm talking to.
But you know what? The thing is, if they're saying that on that article, they're never going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Good riddance. At this point in time.
I don't worry about offending that guy.
Yeah.
And also, I will guarantee he's also never watched Houston Dynamo versus Chicago Fire either.
There's some shitty games in MLS. Hell, there's shitty games in the Premier League.
Absolutely.
We've all watched them. Yeah. I
watched a lot of them last year, actually.
Mitch's team was a part of. But
you know,
it is what it is. Yeah, there are shitty St. Louis FC games. But there are also games that are so
7-1 killers of Tulsa.
And it's your team.
It's your city. It's your team. And they're your players. And they're contracted to this club. And they're going out every week and representing you.
And it doesn't take long to get bought in either.
No, it doesn't. Absolutely, it doesn't. Absolutely, it
and,
doesn't.
And it's not like we're, you know, somebody's, you know, talking at the bar, you know, oh, you're an Arsenal fan. Why are you an Arsenal fan? Oh, well, you know, this or that. They're all made-up reasons. If you're an American following a team in Europe, it's a made-up reason. You know, I mean, maybe your ancestors are from there, or maybe, you know, your brother liked them, or maybe you saw a movie when you were a kid, or whatever. But this team, legitimately
No one's going to say to you, why do you support St. Louis FC?
Right. They're my team.
Yeah.
Nobody ever asked me why I support the Cardinals.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, why is this any different?
Right. I do ask some of the St. Louis people why they support the Blackhawks, though. That's that's an abomination.
Pat Ryan's family.
But seriously, and, you know, like you were saying, you know, there'll probably be some MLS St. Louis fans who've latched onto the Timbers because the Timbers are fun to watch in MLS.
And
I get
they were
that.
A popular hipster team to log on to.
I mean, people are fans of the Timbers Army.
But maybe they'll come out. But maybe they'll come out and watch this game, and maybe they'll see, oh, we have a little culture of our own. I'd like to be a part of that. That's my only hope, that we get some people with those Timbers jerseys that you've threatened to burn come out and watch the game and say, oh, well, they're having some fun over there in the corner. You know,
yeah.
Maybe I'll come back and wear a St. Louis FC jersey next time.
Seriously, if you're from Crestwood and you wear a Timbers jersey, I'm burning it.
I can just see somebody showing up in it, Bird saying, papers, please.
He's going to be the Gestapo. Go.
Hey, he's going to be the Gestapo of jerseys. Papers, please.
I'm a Dynamo fan, but I didn't wear my Dynamo jersey when we played Rio Grande, too.
Exactly.
But, you know.
Well, I would say you're not exactly
right,
the problem,
I mean,
case.
Yeah. No, seriously, it's a very valid point because Ryan Malachak went to when we went in the Open Cup, and he's wearing his St. Louis jersey and banging
yeah,
out.
Yeah, no,
drunk.
I get that. There's a lot of sporting Kansas City fans, mm-hmm. and they're great fans, and they do love their team. But this is our team.
Yeah.
And you know, we've joked with Ryan. Ryan's a good example. He goes to a lot of sporting Kansas City games, but he's always at our games. And we've joked, well, you know, if St. Louis gets an MLS team, what are you going to do? He's going to have to maybe have a fire sale on all his, you know, sporting Kansas City jerseys.
Uh-huh.
But
I don't get it. I really don't. I just don't.
But going back to what I wrote, Ryan is the polar opposite of the person I was talking to.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ryan goes to a lot of soccer
yeah.
games.
Yeah.
You know?
Ryan had surgery and came to a game before he was officially released to come back.
He is putting his money where his mouth is.
And
he's printing shirts.
And we have a lot of people that do. And that's the one thing that's worth mentioning. You know, you go back 6 years, you know, Keith and Liz and Brown and all these people that were there 6 years ago through thick and thin, there's a lot of people that have put their money where their mouth is. They have earned the right to say, fuck you if you're not going.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, really. Absolutely right.
You know, and so, you know, Bird is one of those people as well. You know, yeah, he's not one of the OGs, so to speak, but, you know, he came and standing in Cottleville in 100 degrees at 5 o'clock.
But when,
sun.
I wasn't living here, I was standing in Akron University watching those guys.
Exactly.
You know
well, it,
and
you,
and you've
do
also,
your part.
You've also said that, you know, when you moved to a new city, that was a way for you to meet people that are like-minded. I'll throw that out there, too. I mean, a guy contacted us this week on Facebook. He's from Virginia. Mm-hmm. He was a DC United fan, part of the Barra Brava. When he moved to town, somebody told him, you know, we exist, and he's going to come out just to meet some people that are of similar passion. And, you know, hopefully he'll become a St. Louis fan. I'm sure he'll always be a DC United fan because that's was his team. But, you know, if he just likes soccer, come out and meet some people that like soccer and want to talk about soccer.
That's basically what I did with American Outlaws when I first joined American Outlaws, because I just wanted to go out and drink with people that were watching soccer games. It didn't matter.
Oh, yeah, and we also drink.
Yeah.
A lot. And we have good food. I mean, and that's the thing. Men, women, you know, teenagers, there's a wide variety of people.
No drinking for the teenagers.
No, no. We're not, you know, we're not the douche bros, you know, pumping fists and tank. Well, some of them are.
We are when we're beating Tulsa 7-1.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, it's not the bro mentality that puts people off.
It's not the ultra mentality, which a couple people accused us of being. You know,
that was the funniest
hooligans
thing.
Or whatever.
Oh my God, that was the funniest one when they were saying that, you know, we were all ultra. It's like, did you not listen to Kansas City? We are not ultra.
Yeah, we are not ultra enough. So yeah, there's a place for you in this group. And Just don't make excuses. Just come out. That's all we ask.
Games. This is...
And again, we still stand by our statement. You come out, you introduce yourself, we're going to hand you a beer.
Yep.
Free beer.
A couple more things that Jeremy wanted us to relay. The ESPN game, there will be fireworks afterwards, so bring the kids.
Hopefully they're win fireworks.
Yeah, hopefully they're celebration fireworks. Speaking of the marketing money, there are going to be some commercials on the Euro and Copa games coming up. They're trying to get some people out for that July 6th game, so if you see the commercials on the games, just tweet about them and tell people you saw them. And we are 400 likes away from 20,000, not us, the St. Louis FC, 400 likes away from 20,000 on Facebook. So have your mom like the page. you know, tell all your friends to like the page. Let's get them up over 20,000. So,
I would like to also thank Spencer from the Kirkwood Webster Times.
Oh, yeah.
Coming out last week.
Mitch was in the paper.
Yeah, yep. But he came out and covered us. So, you know, hopefully that's more eyes on that. Thanks to Carlos again, our favorite Colombian. He hooked us up, had a good chat with the guy. He was well impressed. The other great thing was he's like, well, this is awesome. I'm going to come back next week when I'm not working.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, this is so much fun.
That's the thing. I mean, we've got the new Post-Dispatch writer. What's his name? I always forget it. He's from Houston.
Yeah, I don't remember.
He did some stuff with the Dynamo down there, and he's been covering the Blues, and you know, I've invited him to come to a game, not as a reporter, you know, and the same goes for Bernie and all these other people. Leave the notebooks at home.
Randy Carricker, we did.
Yeah, Randy Carricker came out. He wasn't covering us. He
brought his daughter with him.
They had fun. So just come out, hang out in the corner. You don't have to write a story about it. You don't have to talk about it on the radio. But if you come out, I bet you'll have fun.
Can't argue.
You'll eat good food. You'll have a few beers if you're so inclined.
We will assign a beer wench to you.
They might have a beard.
Yeah. But, you know, we'll take care of you in the corner. ITAP Craft Corner will provide us with what we need.
Speaking of which, looking forward to drinking some Ale Fleur 1 on Saturday.
It's a good brew. I like
it. It is. I'm thinking I might take the growler up there on Saturday and get it filled for the tailgate.
We got to talk to Second Shift. They're getting close to opening their place on the hill.
Yeah.
We need to get Brewligan in a regular rotation and get some of that out there for the games, too.
We need to see if they'll have a Luligan housewarming party.
That would be nice.
I think that's what we need.
We could do that.
Mostly just because we like their beer.
Yeah, we like beer.
And them. They're good people. But beer especially.
So, yeah, come out to the game this weekend. As always, tailgate starts in the main lot 2 hours before kickoff.
That's 5:30.
Do not get there before 5:30. Is that clear enough for everyone?
They're still going to do it.
There's a couple people that show up early. We have special permission for a select few people to get there early, get things set up. If people keep violating this and getting there early, they're not going to let us in early to set up. And then it just pushes everything back. So if you're that person that gets there at 3 o'clock and sets up camp before anyone else is there, stop it.
They're not listening because they'll have known by now.
That's true.
Yeah, that was going to be my point.
But, you know, if you're at the gate at 5:30 waiting, that's perfect.
Please,
but,
go ahead.
But don't get there at 5 and start honking your horn.
Yeah. Or don't get there at 5 just
because ram the gate.
They let me in early last time.
Right.
5:30.
So, and don't say I'm on the list because you're not. They do have an actual list. So, anything else, boys?
No. Again, get people to those games.
Yeah.
If you're financially distressed and you need help for that Wednesday night game, reach out. You know, we will find tickets. We will help tickets. We will share tickets. Hell, we'll buy tickets.
Yes, and we also usually have a few tickets at the game. People that can't make it at the last minute, donate their tickets. If you usually bring a friend and you've got an extra ticket, give it to us. We try to hook people up, you know, day of game, especially newbies. We try to give the people that are new or bringing guests free ones.
We almost always have two free tickets to start with.
Right.
Either between Brad and I and the number one season ticket.
Yep. So.
Just come out and support your team.
And if you're listening to this podcast and you
chances are you already are.
If you're listening to the podcast, but there may be some people listening that don't have a soccer friend. You know, there's a lot of people in this country that, that are kind of islands unto themselves because none of their family or none of their friends like soccer. If you're listening to this, you've been wanting to come out to a game, but maybe we're a little nervous. Come out, please.
Come find us.
Find Mitch, Brad at the tailgate. We're at the table selling T-shirts every time. We'll assess you. We will talk to you for 5 minutes.
We will not
and,
pass judgment.
No, no. But what I'm saying is we'll talk to you for 5 minutes, and I guarantee there'll be like something that comes up, and I'll be like, oh, you need to meet this guy because you have this in common or, you know, whatever it is.
And we've got so many great friendly people, too. I mean, we have a bunch of assholes, but there are so many good
friendly
people.
If you're
people.
An asshole, come out. We'll find an asshole like you.
Yeah, we've got a handful of them.
You'll be right at home.
Yeah. But no, seriously, if you're on the fence, if you've been wanting to come out,
if you're
come
tuning
out.
In to make fun of us,
yeah,
come on out. Have fun. See what happens.
Yeah, if you think it's fun making fun of us on the internet and the radio, you should do it in person.
There's a lot to work
We're a lot fatter in person. There's all kind of jokes you can make.
I've got jowls.
I'm fat. Yes. I'm bald.
So, yeah, whatever your motivation, come on out.
We sound like used car salesmen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got fat guys. I've got bald guys. Come on down.
Are you kidding me?
So, yeah. We did a little, I don't know, venting this evening, but hopefully.
I know some of the players probably listening to this going, come on, chin up, lads. Let's go again Saturday. We'll be there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Another 7-1, and we're right back in your corner.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
I'll take a 1-0.
No, hey, and to the guys that do listen, we know it's tough out there. We know you're giving your all. We think you're better, and that's why we expect more from you.
Well, we know almost all of you. One of you we don't like. We won't tell you who.
We know you're a good team, so
yeah.
Chin up. Let's do this.
Wow. Positive Brad. Who'd have thought?
I'm always positive.
Fuck you are.
Sometimes I'm a positive asshole.
I'm positive you're not positive.
Yeah. Positively negative.
That's my Bradley.
All right. Do we have anything else?
Nah.
I think we're well covered.
We'll see you Saturday.
Saturday. Come out.